Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. William Winkenwerter, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs in the U.S. Department of Defense. Well, Bill, throughout our conversation, we've talked about Iraq, but I'm curious, how are things going out in the field?
Well, obviously, it's a challenging situation in some quarters, but I would also note that there's been tremendous progress in others, and that often doesn't get as well reported. From the standpoint of our care to our troops and how they're doing, I think it's been absolutely outstanding. There's no question but that lives continue to be saved because of techniques and new doctrine, new approaches that have been introduced just over the last few years. For example, we now have teams of surgeons who are very close to where the action is. We call it far forward, rather than, you know, miles and miles away in a large field hospital. They're very close. And through the combination of care that the medic can provide and things like the quick clot and other techniques, we're seeking to operate more quickly to have life-saving surgery and then to put those individuals on aeromedical evacuation assets, helicopters, the like. And then they're taken to more definitive tertiary care, either in Germany or back to the United States. And so it's not unusual that someone might be injured, stabilized with surgery, stabilized in the field hospital for a day or two, but then be back in the United States within 3 or 4 days. So that's a very different approach than the past. It's leading to, I think, some tremendous saves. The other element of this that's very important, and I think is a very much better job that's been done versus the first Gulf War and prior times with respect to just prevention and looking at the environment within which we're operating, taking preventive measures to avoid illnesses or conditions that can result as a that can come about as a result of environmental exposures or the like. We follow a statistic that's called disease and non-battle injury rates. So that's basically sickness or injuries. And despite Iraq being one of the most austere environments in certain places in Iraq of you'll find anywhere in the world, our rates are the lowest that they've ever been. So we're pleased about that. That's a testament to the really quality care that people are getting. I've been to Iraq and visited with our troops and with those that did end up in our medical care system, and that to a person have just said the care has been excellent. And that's very gratifying. You can't pull that kind of response out of somebody if it's not in fact happening. So I commend really all service components. Today, the Army is playing the major role on the ground, and they're doing a great job. So I think that all of that's going well. On a separate front, our office, my office, and others are assisting the Ministry of Health in Iraq to reconstitute itself and to reconstitute the healthcare system for Iraq. And we supported the deployment of a senior advisor to the Minister of Health, and that's Mr. Jim Haveman, who was formerly the state health director for the state of Michigan. He has been there with a team of about 35 or 40 people now for almost 6 months. They've been doing a terrific job helping to rebuild the healthcare system in Iraq, and there are many more funds and dollars that are being spent to rebuild hospitals and clinics and to get the system back working again. Saddam Hussein basically starved the healthcare system, grossly underfunded it, used healthcare to punish certain populations of people, and in many ways it was very corrupt. But many of those problems, working together with the Iraq medical community, are now being overcome, and we've not had any epidemics there. We've not had any serious disease outbreaks, and in spite of all the terrible events that have happened with the bombings, people in those situations have gotten very good emergency medical care, and that's a testament to the fact that the system there is working. So we think that that's a success.
You mentioned some challenges in Iraq. Over the next 5 years, what other types of challenges do you face?
Let me talk about two or three of them. The first, I would say, is continuing to implement change within a large system. As Secretary Rumsfeld has identified the need for all of the military to be faster, more flexible, more mobile, worldwide, take on different kinds of missions. The medical piece of that has to take place. And so we need to be, in terms of providing that medical support, the terms are lighter, faster, more interoperable. That means that certain capability that the Navy might have could be used by the Army or Army by the Air Force and so forth, that there's this ability to exchange teams and units and that kind of thing for different kinds of missions, to operate more jointly. And we saw the power of that joint kind of operation in the war phase, and much of that continues now. Same applies in medicine. So I'd say that's a principal challenge for us. Second challenge is going to be the cost of what we do, the rising cost of health care in our private system, our everyday, health care system that's costing more. We have an excellent benefit, a very rich benefit. And certainly one of the things that we've got to be mindful of is how does that benefit compare to other benefits in the private sector, and keeping some level of consistency there so that that the long-term costs are manageable. And then finally, it's always critical for any organization to continue to attract and retain quality people. The system is the people. And I'm confident that we'll do that. We continue to get great young kids who just want to serve their country, and they're doing a terrific job, just terrific job. And so I think we'll meet that challenge. I think we'll meet all of those challenges in the days ahead.
What role do you see health affairs playing in the war on terror?
Well, I think we have been playing a role in the ways I just described, supporting all of our military and in their operations. I would also note another element that we've not talked about, and that's the whole area of biological defense. We're quite involved in that. As you may know, we have implemented successfully vaccination programs for anthrax to protect our service members against the threat of anthrax and also smallpox. And large numbers of our service population are now protected against those two threats. There are other threats that are out there. So we're involved in research on that, and we're working, I think, for the first time in a very collaborative, cooperative way with the Department of Health and Human Services, with the National Institutes of Health, with the CDC, with the FDA, and others. And so the president's legislation that he proposed, called BioShield, that it will appropriate about close to $6 billion, I believe, over the next 5 years to be spent to procure or to buy new medical countermeasures against some of these threats. We're working with the civilian sector on all that. We see the challenge as being how to protect all of America, not just for us, the military, or not just for them, the civilian population, but how do we work together? And so we have ongoing research, and we've worked to try to make that more collaborative, to have the civilian side build on what we've done at the Defense Department, because we've been involved in some of this for longer, and I think it's been a great relationship, and that will continue.
You've had a very interesting career that has involved two stints in government. So I'm curious, what advice would you give for someone thinking about a career in public service?
Well, I think it's a great career option, either as a full-time permanent career option, or for a stint in political public service, appointed service, or volunteering. I just think there are so many experiences that one cannot get any other way. First, you meet great people. You get to work with great people. Some of the challenges you face are so important. And it's about providing the best that you can for the people that you serve, and ultimately for the American people. So I think for those people who like mission-oriented types of jobs, you can't beat it. And so my public service time has been very gratifying, and I'd certainly encourage young people in particular, young people, to think about that for their future.
I'm afraid that'll have to be our last question, Bill. Thank you for joining us today. Mike and I want to thank you.
Thank you very much. If you're interested to learn more about us in the military health system or what we do, you might want to try to contact us through our website at www.tricare.osd.mil. We can also be reached at www.militaryhealthsystem.osd.mil, and that's M-I-L. And for some of our beneficiaries, certainly you're free to call us through our 1-877 numbers through our service centers around the country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. William Winkenwerter, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs in the U.S. Department of Defense. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.